Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Are you blessed and highly favored? Do you believe it? Do you receive it? You know, one of the things that, you know, as we were worshiping and praising the Lord tonight, one of the things that came to my spirit was, you know, so many times we get caught up in just routine and then we lose expectation. In other words, we must be willing to, we must be in the area of getting ready to expect something. In other words, your hunger and thirst draws His presence. When you stop expecting something from God, He doesn't show up. Has everybody got it? Because my spirit was getting grieved tonight. I'm like, what's going on, Lord? And He said, I sense no expectation. And I'm thinking, wow, we've got to come in here with more expectation. Amen? There must be more expectation or we don't draw the presence of God. Then we come into a routine. And routine is religion. We should be expecting something new every time. Some kind of revelation. See, we live on revelation now. We're not associated with the world. We live in revelation. I can't live without revelation. Without revelation, I no longer maintain a thirst and a hunger. So I must be expecting. When I get up in the morning, I've got to expect something. In other words, I'm looking, I'm expecting something. Does this sound all right? Every day we should expect something from God. Every day. Not just go on your day and you go to your work and do whatever. There should be an expectation. Lord, what do you have for me today? What are you showing me today? Amen? What are you showing me? Make sure my eyes are open to see. Expectation. It's vital. The Bible says something very important. It says, those who thirst and hunger shall be filled. Those, not those who are not thirsty and hungry. Those who thirst and hunger shall be filled. See, we're to be in the process of growing and maturing and maintain. It's our responsibility to maintain the hunger, not maintain religion. Hello. Those who thirst and hunger shall be filled. I need to make contact with heaven, and I want heaven to make contact with me. And when there's something that happens, that's when we become joyful. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength, and in His presence is fullness of joy. Does everybody got it? That's why it's a terrible state to see people who proclaim to be believers be miserable. Go home and tell, make sure you don't tell nobody you know Jesus. Because you don't. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and in His presence is fullness of joy. That means I must maintain a thirst and a hunger. But there are things that prevent a thirst and hunger, and that's associations. Influences try to draw you and drain you and keep you from thirsty and hungry and promote and exchange your thirst and hunger for a hunger of greed, for a hunger of lust, for a hunger of the things of the world. It's our responsibility to come out from those things. It's our responsibility to sever those things. It's our responsibility to read the Word of God. It's our responsibility to worship. It's our responsibility to bind and loose. It's our responsibility to fight. But we should be fighting from victory, not to victory, because the battle's already been won. Now we just got to walk it out. Are you willing to listen? Are you willing to obey? Turn to Ephesians 2. Verse 1. And you, He what? He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift from God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his what? His workmanship. In other words, we are the trophy. We are what he does. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That word, good works, means practice righteousness. Good works is a righteous practices, or one who practices righteousness. Is everybody with me? For we are his workmanship. In other words, you can't be his workmanship unless you're practicing righteousness. So we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Again, good works are righteous practices, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That we should walk what? In them. So in other words, we are either the workmanship of the Lord or the workmanship of the devil, one or the other. There is no in between. If you practice righteousness, you are the workmanship of the Lord. If you practice unrighteousness, you are the workmanship of the devil. Are you listening?
But I accept Jesus years ago.
It doesn't matter. It's who you serve now. Who do you serve today? It's not who you served yesterday. It's who you serve right now. You are either good works of the area where you are practicing righteousness, or you are bad works, evil works, practicing unrighteousness. In 1 John chapter 1, hallelujah. So his workmanship expresses the character of Christ by righteous practices. Amen? So when we're associating with things that are ungodly, their purpose is to try to suppress Christ in us. Amen? In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, would you speak it with me? This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Next verse. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now again, the word truth here means practice righteousness. Is everybody with me? It means what? Practice righteousness. What does good works mean? Practice righteousness. Good works, truth. They mean practice righteousness. Is everybody with me? Go to Revelation 22. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. Verse 14. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. The blessed are those who do his what? Okay, again, the word commandments is associated with practice righteousness. Has everybody got it? So it says, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the what? Tree of life. So if you're not practicing righteousness, do you have a right to the tree of life? No. And may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs. Now the word dog means demonized individual. Sorcerers and sexual immoral and murderers and idolaters. and whoever loves and practices a lie. These things, commandments, means practicing of righteousness. The Lord says, listen, there's going to be a time, and the time, you never know when God's going to call you home. You never know when the devil's going to kill you if you allow him to. If you're out of position, the devil's got a right to kill you. Doesn't he come to steal, kill, and destroy? Amen. God came to bring life and a life abundantly. So when you're out of position, the devil's after you big time. And when you're in position, he's trying to get you out of position so he can kill you. Especially if you carry the truth, or you're one who has practiced truth or righteousness. So we see here that good works is a representation of practicing righteousness. Truth is a representation of practicing righteousness. And obeying the commandments is a representation of practicing righteousness. So you must begin to examine yourself whether you are producing the character of Christ or suppressing him. In 1 John chapter 3. But then many will say, but I believe in God. But the word believe means to follow. It's amazing how many people say they believe God, they love God, but they hang out in bars, they fornicate, they lie, they cheat, they steal, and they practice the things of the world, which is practicing unrighteousness. So you can't say you love God, you don't even know him. Because if you know him, you carry something called the fear of the Lord, which is reverence, respect, and honor, if you truly know him. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, would you read it with me? Little children, let what? Let what? No one deceive you. Let no one deceive you. Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception, and his power is fear. Let no one deceive you. Let no one deceive you. I said again, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is what? Of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. So if you're truly walking in the Spirit, you are going to run from sin, or have dominion over it, because you do not want anything to promote you or influence you to practice unrighteousness. Is everybody with me? Let no one deceive you. Workmanship of the devil or workmanship of Christ will be manifested through us, one or the other. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15. Let no one deceive you. You know, there is much deception going out. It's phenomenal of what's going on in the world. Not only in the world, but even in the infiltration of the body of Christ that's happened. There is what we call a shaking, and the shaking is to tighten up. You know, we've heard people say, tighten up, man. In other words, get right. Tighten up. Listen, one of the grieving things of my spirit is to see people fall out of position and die. And I've seen too many people die, get taken out, because of out of position, and the devil had access to them. But the Lord cried to them, come out from among them. Come out. He did everything that he could do. But the individuals refused to hear or listen. And they ended up dying. Now, I can't tell you where they went. That's up to God. But who you serve when you die is where you go. In 1 Corinthians 15. Is everybody there? In verse 33. Remember, we just said, let no one deceive you, right? In verse 33, what does it say? Do not be what? Deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. He says, awake to righteousness. Why? Because these evil companies are causing you to practice unrighteousness. Awake to righteousness. And do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Why are you doing this? Don't be deceived. Evil company influences righteous practices. When one turns from practicing righteousness to practicing evil, he is called a fool. It's called a fool. Does everybody understand it? When one is practicing righteousness and turns to practicing unrighteousness, that individual is called a fool. Proverbs 13. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 19, 13, 19. Would you speak this with me? A desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. In other words, they won't, because their desires are being fulfilled. And verse 20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be what? Destroyed. Wow. Companions of fools will be destroyed. Satan again comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. So when one turns from practicing righteousness and practices unrighteousness, that person is considered a fool. Proverbs 10. In verse 22, Proverbs 10, 22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Isn't that a blessing? See, but when the blessing of the wicked is established, there's always sorrow with it. Why? Because they're afraid they're going to lose it. They spend more time trying to keep it, because that is their God. And verse 23. To do evil is like sport to a fool. Does everybody see this? It is a sport to a fool. One who has now walked and practiced righteousness and now practices unrighteousness, it becomes a sport to that individual because it is fulfilling to them now. They can't break from it until they finally come to the end of themselves. There's nothing but torment, confusion, frustration, and pain. To do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. Look at verse 24. It says that the fear of the wicked will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. In other words, the desire of the righteous is to expose the wicked. To do evil is sport to a fool. Oh, look at Proverbs 12, verse 14. Proverbs 12. Now let's start, Proverbs 12. Let's start at verse 12. It says, the wicked covet the catch of the evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit. The wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands will he render to him. Verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. The way of a fool is right in their own eyes because they can't see. One of the things that the devil does, remember, his greatest weapon is what? deception, so it causes blindness. Because what's being promoted now is self. And when the promotion of self is established, people become short-sighted. They can't see things through. The only thing that is around them is them. Me, 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 me. It's all about me. They're no longer about kingdom business, they're about self-business. In Psalm 1, there are four levels of association because associations corrupt good habits. What you associate with is what you become. Psalm chapter 1. I'm just talking about four levels, okay? There's four levels of association. In Psalm 1, verse 1, it says, blessed is the man who what? Walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Of the what? Ungodly. Ungodly are those called lovers of the world. They are called the ungodly. They are what? Lovers of the world. But blessed is the man who walks not in that counsel of the ungodly or the ones who are lovers of the world. Nor stands in the path of what? Sinners. Oh, man. Sinners. Sinners are lovers of self. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. The scornful are backsliders. So let's talk about these three first. In Psalm 14. And we'll come back to this. Psalm 14. Four levels of association. The first one is ungodly. They are lovers of the world. In Psalm 14. Is everybody there? In verse 1. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is what? No God. In other words, that person has lost the fear of the Lord. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works, and there is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. You see, he's looking for those who are truly seek. See, you can seek all you want, but you must obey. It's a terrible thing to seek, get an answer, and not obey. So, again, the first level of association that influences us, where we must be careful, are they called the ungodly, and they are lovers of the world. And what they say is there is no God. Even though some of them proclaim that there is God, but in their heart they have no relationship. There's no God. They are lovers of the world. They are interested in self. They are interested in money. They are interested in prosperity. They are interested in building their empire. Their interest is not in the kingdom business. It is interested in self-business. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3. They may be lovers of nature, but they're certainly not lovers of God. In fact, they worship nature, most of them. But they proclaim that they're a good person. I'm a good person. I have a good heart. My heart is to help people and to do this and to do that, but I can't practice righteousness. I'm a good person. I want to help everyone, so I slept with every person on the block. And when they left, I stole everything in their drawers because I was stealing from them to help others. I'm a good person. Second Timothy chapter 3. Again, the first association is with the ungodly who are lovers of the world. The second association, the second level of association is sinners who are lovers of self. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, what? Perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of what? Themselves. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people, stay away. Turn away. Well, what do you mean, man? I only do four of those. I don't do them all, only about four, maybe five or six. Because I'm a good person. Again, there's a difference between practicing righteousness and unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Look at verse 6. It says, for this sort are those who creep into households, businesses, and ministries and make captives of gullible men and women, loaded down with sins, led away with various lusts. They're always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And remember, truth is a representation of what? Practicing righteousness. Sinners, lovers of self. Romans chapter 1. The third level, scornful. Scornful is associated with backsliders. Did you ever notice around a backslider, they're bitter? Oh, they talk bad about everyone else and blame everybody else. They blame the ministries. They blame the pastors. They blame everything on everyone and everything. Not even knowing that they have backslidden, because now slanderous things come out of their mouth. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. Is everybody there? And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, in other words, they knew how to practice righteousness, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So they're approving of those who practice. In other words, they are associated, because they're backslidden and they're bitter, they're now associating with others who practice the same, and they approve it. Yet they proclaim that they know God. Terrible place to be. Psalm 81. That's the third level of association. Psalm 81. But I'm a good person. I remember my mother saying something to me, you're good for nothing. But I broke that label off a long time ago. You know, did you ever realize the things that were spoken over you that you kept and didn't even realize, man, I'm good for nothing? Did you ever get told that you were a mistake? So you're good for nothing and you're a mistake. Thank God he saw me different. Oh, hallelujah. In Psalm 81, verse 14, it's everybody there? Look at what he's, look at, go to verse, hold on a second. Verse 11. But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would not have none of me, so I gave them over to their own stubborn heart. Anybody ever tell you they're stubborn? To walk in their own counsels. People tell me, well, you know, it's just my stubborn nature. No, man. You've been turned over to a stubborn heart because you continue to refuse the hearing of the voice of God. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord will pretend submission to him. In other words, they pretend they're submitting to God. But they're really not, because they have their own agenda. But their fate would endure forever. Look, he says, I would have fed them with the finest of wheat and with honey from the rock. I would have satisfied you. He's talking about feeding with revelation and from his spirit. They pretend submission, but they really don't submit. Is everybody with me? Psalm 119. Verse 63. The fourth level of association is with the godly. With the godly. The fourth level of association is with the godly. So you can have three levels of association with basically the wicked, or you can have one association with the godly. You know, even in association with the tabernacle of God, there's association. There's association with outer darkness. There's association with outer court. People only know salvation. Then the holy place, those that have speak another language and fulfill priesthood, so they know association with the gifts of the Spirit. And then there's the third chamber, which is what we call a warrior or kingship, which is association with battle. Battle. See, God wants us to have the full association in the tabernacle. Does everybody understand that? But we're to give salvation. We're to share salvation. We're to maintain our priesthood in the second chamber. And in the third chamber, we are to battle. Because you have been called to battle. Your purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom, and your destiny is to infiltrate the world system with the talents and abilities God has given you, not in your own strength, but his. But you must come to the end of yourself for him to be expressed. In Psalm 119, verse 63, it says, I am a companion of all who what? Fear you, and are those who keep your precepts. In other words, I am a companion of those who carry the fear of the Lord, which is reverence, honor, and respect. Reverence, honor, and respect. That is association with the godly. They carry the fear of the Lord. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now, do you see the combination here? Sanctified, that means separated. In other words, they're not associated with the things of evil. And it's so that they can practice good works, which is practicing what? Righteousness. Amen. In verse 22, he says, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. A pure heart. And the Bible says, who can enter and dwell in your holy place? He said, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. See, you can say you know him, but what you practice will either show him or not show him. Amen? Hallelujah. Exodus 34. And verse 11. Exodus 34 and verse 11. It says, observe what I command you this day. Behold, I am driving out from before you the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jezebite and the Eternalite. No, and the Carnalite. And verse 12. Take heed, everyone say, take heed to yourselves, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you associate. Are you listening? Where you are going, lest it be a what? Snare in your midst. Do you see this? It says, but you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and cut down their wooden images. In other words, you and I are to expose the enemy. Be careful who you make covenant with. In other words, be careful who you make promises with. Be careful who you make vows with. Amen? Be careful. Because it can be a snare to you. Amen? Take heed what you make a vow to and a vow with. Exodus 23. Verse 1 and 2. Let's speak it together. You shall not circulate a false report. In other words, don't lie. Do not put your hand out with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice. In other words, we're not to follow wicked. Amen? Go to verse 23. 33, not 23. 33. Go to verse 33. I guess you could start at verse 32. You shall make no what? Covenant with them, nor with their gods. You know how many times people say that they believe in God? I believe in God. Well, are you in fellowship? No. Do you read the Bible? No. Is Jesus your Lord? Well, you know, I don't know. What do you don't believe in God? You believe in you, your God. You shall not make covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. How are they going to make you sin against them? Because association. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. Does everybody see that? Go to Ezra, chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9, right after 2 Chronicles. Understand that there's much infiltration right now, not only in this country, but globally, in the area of the demonic realm, that is trying to get people to associate with the ungodly or compromise or be complacent. It's amazing in how many fellowships now have decided to, they've got a Chrislam. It's Christian Muslim Association now that they've come together. Chrislam. And excuse the language, but these idiots who proclaim to be Christians are now associating, and please grab hold of this, with moon worshipers. That's why they carry the crescent moon. They worship the moon god. Does everybody understand that? And so by associating with them and fellowshipping with them and going to the same fellowships with them, they are hearing their doctrine. Look at the association with that and what it's causing people to compromise. Now they're accepting it. And the Lord says, listen, if anybody comes to you with any other doctrine, run. Amen? Ezra chapter 9. In verse 10. Let's speak it. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken your commandments. In other words, we have turned from righteousness, practicing righteousness. For what you commanded by your servants, the prophets, saying, the land which you are entering to possess is an unclean land, with the uncleanliness of the peoples of the land, with their abominations which have filled it from one end to the other, with their impurity. Now, therefore, do not give your daughters as wives for their sons, nor take their daughters to your sons, and neither seek their peace or prosperity, that you may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it as an inheritance to your children forever. He was warning them. Don't give your daughters and your, don't let them intermarry. Don't do that. And verse 13. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great guilt, since you are our God, have punished us less than our iniquities deserve and have given us such deliverance at this. Should we again break your commandments and join in marriage with the people committing these abominations? Would you not be angry with us until you have consumed us so that there would be no remnant or survivor? O Lord God of Israel, you are righteous, for we are left as a remnant, and that is this day. Here we are before you in our guilt, though no one can stand before you because of this guilt and because of this. In other words, guilt of association. Does everybody got that? In other words, we are guilty because of association. So many people have married the wrong person. The Bible says, do not be unevenly yoked. People marrying people that are still lovers of the world, backslidden, and so forth. They intermarriage with the wrong individual. And by intermarrying with the wrong individual, it produces pagan offspring. That's a whole nother teaching. Hallelujah. Improper marriage. Unevenly yoked because of association. Go to Numbers 33. It still blows my mind that somebody who is a Christian, I guess I have a hard time with this because it's a difficult thing to comprehend. How can you be a Christian and marry a Muslim? It makes no sense. It's like, how can you be a Christian and marry a medium? You know, one who reads tarot cards. One practices witchcraft and the other one doesn't. Because you're either practicing righteousness or unrighteousness. It's a difficult thing. And it's because the individuals are in the area of association. That association impresses them, influences them. But I love them. They fall in love with the person. And they lost their first love of God. Now they serve the person and not the Lord. And see, to be a servant to the Lord and to do His will, you must lose yours. You must lose yours. Is everybody okay? I guess it's got to be a difficult thing for two Muslims to be married together, one becomes a Christian. Now that's a different story, isn't it? Numbers 33, is anybody there? And then whether a Muslim, Buddha, whatever. It's amazing to me. I've told you the Buddha story over and over when I went into the... I had to get something tailored tonight. And I went into this tailor shop and this woman looks at me. And I'm at the front desk and... She looks at me and then turns around and starts making two cups of coffee. I thought, wow, what a blessing. This place is great. So she takes the two cups of coffee and walks around, doesn't hand me the coffee, walks around and goes to this little fat statue. And I'm thinking, that's a Buddha statue. And she puts the coffees down and picks up these other ones and walks around. I said, what are you doing? She says, I'm giving Buddha coffee. I said, you're giving Buddha coffee? I said, he hasn't drank the ones you left him yesterday. It's a statue. It's a demon. It's a cursed item. Oh, no, 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 no. So I left her a book called Shut Up and Listen. Numbers 33. And then when I went back to pick up my clothes, I shared with her again. He still not drank the coffee. Oh, no, no. And she just picks up the coffee and throws it out. I'm like, what? You could have given me the coffee. Hallelujah. Numbers 33. Is everybody there? 55. Verse 55. Look at this. This is powerful. It says, but if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. Wow. Moreover, it shall be that I will do to you as I thought to do to them. So it's our responsibility to depart from them or remove them. Do you understand? Is everybody okay? Drive out the evil. Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. Levels of association. Glory. Verse 15. Ooh. 14, excuse me. Is everybody there? Verse 14, Proverbs 14. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. Woo. And is what? Self-confident. Wise fear fools trust in themselves. What you associate is what you become. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, people become, one of the things that the enemy always starts off with is to become compromised, then complacent and lazy. He always brings that in. You know, where individuals begin to justify and they start the butt ministry. But. But you don't know my circumstance. But you don't. No, man. The but needs to get behind you, not in front of you. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 9. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexual immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters, since you would need to go out of the world. In other words, he was telling, look at man, this is happening in our own in our own fellowships. He was saying, I need to be outside of the world. I meant, man, right in your own house. Right in the sanctuary. People are doing this stuff. Hello. Verse 11. But now I've written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. Does everybody see this? So what he was saying is depart from that individual. Oh, man, I'm cool. I'm good. I'm a good person. I just smoke pot 3 times a week. I just drink on weekends, and then I repent every Monday. See, what you associate with is what you become. Even in TV programs, music, work, pleasure. You know, I go to the gym. I like going to the gym to work out. But there's a difference of going to the gym to work out to get healthy and stay young and to be able to fulfill what God has for me. I want to stay healthy. But, man, let me tell you, there's dudes in there that their whole purpose is self. I mean, they're in there pumping all day long. It makes me feel great. Come out. So then they begin to associate with all the muscle heads because they don't have Christ there. Now, there's a difference if somebody's doing it for the glory of God. Does everybody understand that? I haven't seen too many do it for the glory of God. In fact, I haven't run into anyone who's doing it for the glory of God. They're usually doing it to pick up the person that's working out next to them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. But it can happen in any sport. Amen? Doesn't matter. It's association. Second Thessalonians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Anything can become an idol to us. That's when God has to break one of your legs and settle you down. Second Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 11, for we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. In other words, don't keep company. Yeah, you're my brother. How you doing? I don't fellowship with them. You know, Jesus said something very powerful. He said, my family, my brothers and sisters are the ones who do the will of God. Those are my brothers and sisters. When Judas came up to Jesus, Jesus turned to him and says, what do you have to do with me, friend? Friend. See, I don't have friends. Because friends will betray you. Friends are those who are friends of the world. I have brothers and sisters, not friends. You're my brothers and sisters. There's a difference between friend and brother and sister. You never know when a friend will betray you, turn on you. Jesus said the same thing. He called Judas friend. Does everybody understand that? Amen? And in this, we're not to keep company with individuals that are disobedient. It doesn't mean that we dislike them or whatever. We don't slander or anything. But the whole thing is you don't hang with them. Amen? You don't hang with them. Because if you hang with them, you're associating with things that you know, that you, now you're telling them that you approve what they practice. There are things, the reason why I don't hang with certain people is because I'm not going to approve what they practice. Even though that they're my brothers and sisters, I'm not going to approve what they practice. I will depart from it. They'll ask me to do things with them or whatever, I'll say no. Because I don't approve what they practice. I don't approve what they follow, and I don't approve what they believe. And their belief system is flawed. And when there's a flawed belief system, there's flawed perception. And they cannot receive the things of the Spirit. And Isaiah 52. And I'm going to close here. So we're to examine ourselves. Amen? Well, I'm almost going to close here. Isaiah 52. In verse 11. Come on, let's speak it. Depart. Depart. Go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Come out from the midst of her. Be clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. If you are one who bears the vessels of the Lord, he says, come out from among them and touch nothing unclean. Amen? We are to examine ourselves. We're not to be friends of the world. Because, and if you associate with people who are friends of the world, they are enemies of God. Ephesians 4, and we'll close here. Levels of association. If you are working at a place that promotes unrighteousness and you're not participating in the unrighteousness, when they invite you to go to their Christmas party, you know what's in store. Hello? You know what's what? You better be careful and be obedient to what God tells you to do. Because what you approve of is what you associate with them. And they're not going to Joel's place. Hello. Ephesians 4, verse 20. It says, but you have not so learned Christ, if you had heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. You give place to the devil by association. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We are his workmanship, those who practice righteousness. We are to depart from evil associations. that we may maintain the fear of the Lord. Amen. So the Lord must always be before you. He must always be before you. Levels of association. Examine yourself. And let the Lord judge you. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. We are honored and blessed. And we ask that you continue to bring us your counsel, correction, and direction, that we may walk in truth, practice righteousness, and be an example of your workmanship, expressing the character of Christ, and staying away from associations that would try to suppress your character. Lord, again, we ask for your forgiveness in any area. Wash us with the blood, and continue to fill us with your Spirit, that we may walk in truth, righteousness, peace, and joy, bringing glory to your name, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.